You're listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and Friends, the number one source for travel news, reviews, and in-depth travel journalism. Broadcasting live from Florida's Sun Coast on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, you can listen to us online 24/7 at ttrn.com. And now, here's the travel guy, Roy Lowy.
Yes, so this is the travel guy, Roy Lowy, and we've got a great show for you today. I just want to thank you, Scott, for the introduction, and of course, this is the voice of travel, broadcasting from sunny Florida to the world. Today, we're pleased to bring you a one-hour winter carnival special from Quebec City, Canada, featuring Mr. Richard Seguin, representing Quebec City Tourism, travel journalist Suzanne Wright, Juan Pelletier of Quebec Winter Carnival Association, and associate producer Bob Fisher. When we come back.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks. All-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again. Oh, yeah.
This segment of the show is brought to you by O2Cruise.com, your online cruise superstore, and in part by USA 3000 Airlines, offering low-cost fares from St. Petersburg, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, Orlando, and give them a try if you haven't. We're very fortunate today to have Mr. Quebec City himself, and his name is Richard Seguin. And good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Roy. How are you?
What a wonderful... It's so great to talk to you again. I just feel like I'm back in that... You know, what a wonderful city. What a great carnival. And to me, it was just a winter wonderland. And we want to thank you for that. And of course, thank you for joining us today.
Well, I'm very pleased. I had the opportunity to talk to the to your listeners about what Quebec City, what a great city it is.
And let's start with that. Give us a little background, if you will, Richard.
Well, you know, to give you a little background on Quebec City, I have to go back 400 years ago, because that's when the city was founded.
Well, it's kind of nice to be able to do that and still be talking.
Yeah, very good. Like 1608, you see, it was founded by the French explorer Champlain, Samuel de Champlain. You're the very same person who gave his name to Lake Champlain. We're talking to the same guy who founded Quebec City in 1608, so we're very excited because in 2 years... You know, all year round during the year 2008, we're going to be celebrating our fourth, 400th anniversary.
Terrific. And what do you have planned for that?
You see, you're talking a whole year of celebrations,
right?
And we already have plenty of events in Quebec City. Well, you see, we have the Quebec Winter Carnival. You know that. You attended. You see what a great event
it was. Certainly was. In fact, they gave me an honorary name of Petit Bonhomme.
Oh, right. Exactly. Exactly. And then you see later on during the season, we have the Quebec Summer Festival, which is also a great, it's a music festival. Uh-huh. And then later on in August, you have the New France Festival. So you see all those festivals during 2008 are going to be like very, it's going to be a very, very special edition. Which, and the theme of the whole 400th anniversary, the theme is encounter. So it's encounter of all of the nations who founded Quebec City. We're talking of the American Indians to begin with, and then the French, and then the British. When I say the British, I mean, the Irish, the Scottish, and all of the nations who made Quebec City what it is. And there's going to be a whole lot also of the events, which is going to be oriented to the future. Because, that's very important for us.
Well, and it was interesting, the Irish heritage and background, because when we had a dinner that first night, they were playing what sounded like Irish music, and was it not? It was just wonderful.
No, I know. Our folk music has something very, very similar to the Irish music. You're right. Yep. And we have we're also... We're also, I think you found out that we like to have fun in Quebec City, so we know how to have a good party. We know that.
Everybody was fun. Everybody was wonderful and helpful. I don't speak French, but, you know, everyone, most spoke English in some manner or another. But it was just a wonderful, warm feeling, and I think that's what's really special about Quebec City, other than its beautiful panorama views, and it's just a lovely, warm city.
And I think I would say, in terms of food, we're not bad either. You know, we have a very long tradition of fine cuisine in Quebec City, and now there's a sort of a new way to look at it. You know, we have that old tradition, but I would say for the last 10 years, a lot of the chefs in Quebec City use a lot of regional produce. So we have the cuisine in Quebec City as a sort of a personality of its own.
Yeah, and a great mix. We found wonderful Italian restaurants. And some of the places that you took us to were just absolutely spectacular. In fact, we're going to chat with that a bit more when Suzanne comes on a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, so to make a long story short, it's a great place to visit. It's a great place to live in.
Well, make a long story longer.
Oh, I don't have any problem with that. I could talk to you about Quebec City forever. Because it's a great place to live also, not only a great place to visit, it's a great place to live. Because one thing which is fine is you found out, like, the old city is not a very large area, so you can go easily, like, walk from one place to another. It's a very safe city also.
Absolutely.
So you can do a lot of walking and shopping and spend a lot of...
We did do a lot of that. Bob Fisher's a great walker. I was kind of trailing behind. I found out that I was using muscles, since I was walking in snow and on ice, I was using muscles I hadn't used before, so I kind of did a little wobble through the... But it was comfortable, and there was no feeling of it being unsafe. It was great. And what's the average population these days in Quebec City?
Quebec City, you're talking 600,000 people.
Right.
So, you know, it's a medium-sized city, so we have everything a big city has.
Right.
In terms of a cultural life and restaurants and food and opera and everything. But at the same time, the city is just a very reasonable size, so you probably have a feeling that you had that feeling, you know, that people are very warm, very, very accommodating.
Absolutely. And it all started out kind of with the timber trade, did it not?
I'm sorry?
Did it start out sort of with the timber trade, I believe, did it not?
That's exactly how it started. Well, to begin with, the very first, you're talking of the very first step, like a fur trade post. That's how Quebec City started, because, you know, the Europe were very much after beaver fur at the beginning in the 17th century. And then eventually, later on, yes, it became like fur was not so much in fashion anymore. So as a second step, Quebec City became probably one of the busiest harbor in the whole world because of the lumber trade that they were with the British.
And it just expanded on from there.
Yeah, at the moment, now, to this point now, we have 5.5 million visitors every year. And many of them are being from the United States.
And just briefly, tell us what role the tourism organization plays in this. In other words, is the as a tourist office, you go out and produce materials and attend shows to bring tourists to the area. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. You have different ways to do it, but mostly we have advertising that we use a lot of it we do in Canada and United States. And yes, you have to. We have like trade shows where you attend. You know, where you have all some shows where you have only media, other
right.
shows where you have tour operators, which is it, and then other shows which are open to the public. So we do all of the as much as we can.
And the city's quite active in that.
Yeah, we are very active. Yeah.
Now, tell us a bit more about the culture. But first of all, there are universities there.
Yes, we have the University of Laval, which was the first university that was founded in North America. And University of Laval, which is for Quebec City, but for all of eastern Quebec. And you have 35,000 students at the moment who go to Laval, so it's a very large university.
It's incredible. And in fact, most of a good many of the of the people that were with the carnival organization that were showing us around, some of those were students, and they were very knowledgeable about their city, and you could tell they loved their city, and that's what gave us such a great feeling.
Oh yeah, there's a feeling of pride in the city. We're very proud of, you know, we realize that you know, we have something very special. When you think of that, this is the only walled city that you have north of Mexico. So it's very precious. And another thing, also, we're a World Heritage Treasure, which means that UNESCO considers that Quebec City is, you know, meaningful for everybody to visit.
Yeah, I was never quite clear on how UNESCO fits into that in World Heritage's countries or cities, but it's obviously an important factor.
It is, because for two reasons. Because, you know, it's a sort of a... You know, if you're part of a World Heritage city, it means, you know, you're going to find a lot of things to visit in that area. But at the same time, also, it's very important to protect the city because, you know, the fact that you have some very strict regulations about what you can do and what you cannot do in the old city. So this is very important to protect the way the city is going to look for the future.
Now, you also have a wonderful museum in Quebec.
We have a few, but one of them, you're referring to Musée de la Civilisation?
Yes.
Museum of Civilization. Yes, yeah, it's a great museum about the basically about very many different aspects of what's interesting to human beings. And there are two reasons for the museum to exist. There's a very great exhibition about the history of the province of Quebec. So for visitors, it's a good way to learn about what happened in Quebec and why, you know, what happened over the last four centuries.
Exactly.
And then on the other hand, you have many interesting exhibitions about the other countries. We just had an exhibition about 1,000 years of the history of Russia, and so on and so forth. At the moment, there's a very great exhibition about Indonesia. So that's it's a great, and there's also a museum which is very interactive. So you learn, and then you do things, and there's also, you know, if you visit the museum with your kids, there's a daycare center where they're going to take your kids. At the same time, the daycare center uses, you know, if there's a theme like Indonesia, for example, your kids are going to learn a lot about Indonesia in that daycare center. So it's a new approach to see as a museum. There's only a few of them in the world who have that same kind of approach.
And you also have the Grand Theater, where you have the Symphonic Orchestra.
Yes, exactly. Which is, again, the Quebec Symphony is the oldest symphony that was ever existed in North America. You see a lot of that in Quebec City, the oldest or the first, because the city has such an important heritage.
And what I found surprising is that there's so many different activities. There's skiing. There's the dog sledding, as we will talk about later on in the show, which was absolutely phenomenal. The canoe races were incredible. So there's really lots. There's hockey. There's all kinds of activity in Quebec, aside from it just being a lovely, warm place to visit.
Yeah, well, the one thing which is we're very lucky because, you know, you drive for half an hour and or 45 minutes and you're in the middle of nature. So you see every season you can do a lot of activities depending on the season. Of course, now we're still skiing in Quebec City. We have excellent skiing.
Well, we got to visit that facility. That was really quite impressive.
Where we went skiing?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was terrific. And the food was great. It was a wonderful spot. I didn't get out there, but some of the others did. It was night skiing, but we were a bit tired after the dog sledding and the visit to the Ice Hotel, which was also another phenomenal thing to see.
Wow, when you think of the Ice Hotel, there's two of them in the world, so we're very privileged to have that unique attraction. It's still in operation. The hotel will be in operation until, I would say, about April 1st.
That's only weeks away, isn't it?
That's 3 weeks away.
But it's sure the months sure have gone fast, haven't they, Richard? Time just flies. I want to thank you very much. First of all, we want to thank you for inviting us to this wonderful winter festival and joining us on the show. And there's lots more to come in the next hour. So if you have access to your computer, and those that are listening, please go to your computer and click on TTRN.com, and you can look at these articles more in depth and look at the photos. They're just incredible. And you can even see me standing with Bonhomme himself, which is quite a spectacular sight.
Yeah, and you're with, on the Senoir, we call you Petit Bonhomme. Certainly. Your title of honor.
When you see that picture, you certainly do. Richard, thank you very much. We love you, and we look forward to seeing you again.
Yes, yeah, I want to see you this summer.
Oh, that'd be super. And bye for now.
Okay, then. Bye-bye, Roy.
A great man, a great representative of the city of Quebec, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to be joined by Suzanne Wright, who's going to take us a little bit further into more on Quebec Winter Carnival. So stay tuned. Well, we're back, and Winter Carnival, Quebec City, there's magic in the air, wonderful people, great culinary delights, beautiful inns, dancing, singing, dog sledding, and even a nice hotel. And here's travel journalist Susan Wright to share her experience with us. Good morning, Suzanne.
Hi, Roy. How are you?
Okay, I got a mouthful out of that one. we just had Richard on, and we had a nice chat with him. It was really terrific to be chatting with him again after this. So
seems like only yesterday, doesn't it?
It does. And time just goes so quickly. It's just amazing. But here we are, and a wonderful article you wrote. And why don't you start off by telling, sharing with everybody your experience?
Well, it was terrific. I kicked off about a week in the Quebec area with a visit to the Winter Carnival, and you know, you all have talked a little bit about that, and that's a magnificent, very family-friendly event. And I brought one of my longest duration girlfriends with me from Atlanta, and she's a real snow bunny, so we had a great time.
Well, I got to meet her. She was quite a nice gal, actually.
Yeah. So it was the Susan and Suzanne escapades up in the frozen north, so that was great. And then we went onward, Susan and I went onward from there into some of the more traditional countryside that sits between Quebec and Montreal, where there is a chain, a small sort of local chain of auberges or small inns, small hotels. And they hosted us for several days at several different locations, which were really just magnificent. The Quebecois, I'm sure you all discussed this morning, have a real gastronomic heritage, and they really love to show it off. So if you go and work out or work up an appetite by snowmobiling or ice skating or ice fishing, you are sure to be well fed when you trundle back into the small inn.
Or even dog sledding.
That's right. That's right.
Which
That's
we
right.
did quite a bit of. That was quite a wonderful experience. But continue on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right. The dog sledding was fantastic. It was it was a little bit different than I expected, actually. I think the thing that was so striking is, you know, just how many dogs are sitting on top of their little wooden homes.
It was incredible. And the barking.
Yes, just the barking and sort of chomping at the bit, literally. And anxious to get out there and, you know, ply through the snowy woods. So That was fantastic.
And it was incredible when we approached the dog. They were all jumping. And I always thought one had to be a little bit cautious of those animals, but it was quite the opposite, wasn't it?
They were very friendly, and they're obviously extremely well-trained and extremely, comfortable with interaction with strangers. They're not at all territorial. I think several people that I've talked to are the same thing, have a bit of a fear of dogs, and especially large dogs. But no, it was magnificent, and they're beautiful animals, and to see them in their, native element, I think, was pretty special. I mean, when you see them tromping around the parks in Atlanta panting, that doesn't quite feel right now.
and you got to do some ice fishing, didn't you?
Yes. I think in another life I'm going to be a grumpy old man. I'm a big fan of those corny little movies, And I was actually most intrigued by, of all the many winter events that we got to sample, and it was a great treat to be able to do that. I really fell in love with ice fishing. There's something really great about it.
Did you catch anything?
I must admit, my catches were limited to one really tiny trout that I caught on the ice fishing at the Winter Carnival at the Palace,
right,
where there were a whole bunch of kids, and so they had sort of stocked the surface there with fish. So that doesn't really count. But when I went out into the countryside, I got to hang out with a couple of fishermen from Montreal, and although I didn't catch anything, they caught a couple of things. They had about six different lines going.
And then, of course, you turned him back, and so he lives to another day.
That's right.
To get much larger. Somebody's going to catch a big one one day.
That's it. That's right. But it was really fun. I mean, it's obviously the fishermen that are in the audience will know this. It's a contemplative kind of activity. It's very quiet. There's something really magical and beautiful about communing in that sort of vast white silence. And then, of course, having a little nip of something to take the chill off.
What would that be? A little toddy, maybe.
A little toddy, there is such a thing as maple syrup liqueur, which is popular in that part of the world.
All right.
And there are fortified wines that you can be served in the Quebec region, which are well worth trying.
You've
got to keep your blood circulating.
Yeah, well, of course, and thins it out enough so you can wear warm clothing.
Right.
And get into your... Just tell us about your experience at the Ice Hotel, if you will.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, the Ice Hotel is one of those experiences that I'll call a collector's experience. If you are someone who just loves the offbeat, the unique, or if you're someone who feels like you've done so many things and it's like, wow, what's the next thing I can do to kind of up the ante?
Someone like yourself, you must.
Well, maybe. It's definitely worth checking out. The Ice Hotel is a sort of a fascinating structure that is created in its totality every winter season. And it's actually started in Sweden, but the only other ice hotel is in the Quebec area. It's about an hour from downtown, and it's the sixth year that they've constructed it. And it takes about $2.5 million Canadian dollars to build it, and about a month of work, construction work. And it's amazing because it's a less than 90-day season.
And yeah, that's a short time to go through all that work.
Very short time, but it is it's very modest when you first approach it. It's quite modest when you see it. It's almost, if you can imagine, a pyramid, but with a softer curve. So sort of a triangular structures, and I think there's some pictures up on the website that I snapped, but
right,
sort of a softened pyramid structure.
And the sculptured beds and furniture in the rooms was really quite spectacular with the lighting behind it, wasn't it?
Very beautiful, because what they've done is they've created a fiber optic network of lighting that when you enter the Ice Hotel changes color, and that's very dramatic. And then when you actually approach the rooms themselves, you can see the different themes that are carried out. There's an Egyptian room. There's a wall of China room where the bed is a huge circular dragon with ornate carving. I mean, these are master ice carvers that are creating these works.
It is absolutely gorgeous. And then, of course, everything was ice, including what one would drink out of. Now, I'm not sure if you partook in having some vodka in a...
Roy, you know me better than that. Of course I did.
But to have it in a square ice cube of about, you know, 2 inches in diameter, and with a hole drilled in the middle, was really, really quite amazing, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it's amazing how tiny that little sip feels, isn't it? Even though it's straight, I think it's Absolute in one of the bars there, since that's one of their sponsors.
Yeah, that's what they
were. You think to yourself, oh, that looks like a lot. And then when you drink it, it's like, oh, it's kind of an optical illusion. It's not very much, but enough so that you can carry on.
So you have to have another one.
You have to have another. So, you know, one is not enough.
Now, just tell us about the experience. Now, you stayed overnight, and here we have these magnificent beds carved out of ice. And tell us about that part of it and the actual sleeping and that sort of thing. Getting
Absolutely.
Into the sleeping
well, first
bag.
Of all, I think listeners should know that if you choose not to sleep overnight, and it is an expensive proposition, I will mention that, you don't have to do that. The folks at the ICE Hotel do offer tours throughout the day. It's very minimal cost to take a tour of the hotel, and that's spectacular. And so that's certainly well worth doing if you don't have the time or choose to spend the finance on overnight. But if you do want to do an overnight, the typical unfolding of that experience kind of works like this. You arrive at some point, probably in the mid-evening, and they have an arrangement with a nearby property where you can actually go and have another multi-course meal. So you can literally walk over to another property, another resort property, and have a multi-course meal. And you sort of time it so that you get back sometime after maybe 9 o'clock at night. And at that point, you're instructed how to crawl into your sleeping bag. And you think to yourself, you know how to get in a sleeping bag. Well, you really don't. So there's actually a proper way to do it and a proper way to ensure that you have the best night of sleep that's going to be possible in those surroundings, which, are challenging. I mean, it was very, very, very cold. I mean, I think it was -8 or -10. Celsius when we were there, so it's very cold.
Right, and they had a wooden board on top
There's
of the ice.
There's a wooden board
right?
that actually sits on top of the bed, but you actually sleep in a -40 rated sleeping bag.
Right.
But if you think about it, your body heats up pretty quickly in this high-tech material. So they really do want you to sleep in as little possible or in the nude. So it seems ironic. You know, there you are in a room of ice in the buff, in your high-tech sleeping bag, but that's what it is.
With the bathroom facilities outside the building.
Well, far outside the door, that's right. So what they really tell you is have all of your vodka very early in the evening.
Ah, yes.
Yes, absolutely. Or it's going to make for kind of tough situation, because if you need, you need the facilities in the middle of the evening, you got to get totally dressed, head out the door, and around the bend to find the facilities. Because it's almost like a hostel in that regard, because the shower facilities and the bathroom facilities are sort of separated from the sleeping facilities.
And of course, you said that there's probably traces of yellow snow somewhere in there.
I'm not making any claims.
No comments, right?
No comments, right. None at all.
But we do know there were no bedpans.
That's right. There were no bedpans. That's right. That potentially would be the only thing that might make the experience a little easier. But it was terrific. And, in talking with many of the guests that were staying there, Susan and I learned that there were a lot of folks that had come to, to have one night there as maybe an anniversary visit, or a couple of honeymooners were there. There were people, believe it or not, I ran into people from Atlanta, Georgia, which seemed bizarre to me, my hometown.
Right.
When I looked at the guest book, there were literally entries from all over the United States and lots of warm weather entries. So lots of folks coming there for the novelty of, you know, sleeping in ice. It was interesting.
And beautiful, actually.
And very, very beautiful. And, you know, so it may not be the best night of sleep you ever have, but, you know, it's certainly an experience that not many people get to do. And so it was terrific in that way. And they're very nice. I mean, they go out of their way at the hotel there to sort of try to make you as comfortable as possible. And, again, you're usually up and out fairly early in the morning. It's not like you're going to be sleeping in and staying in your room. So, you know, there's too many activities to do.
Exactly. Suzanne, it's a great article, and Suzanne's article and photos are up on the site, ttrn.com. And thank you, Suzanne. We've got to run. But,
no problem. Thank you.
Appreciate chatting with us.
All right. Take care.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Yes, that was Suzanne Wright, and a great article. When we come back, more Winter Carnival.
Totally gone native. Totally playful. Totally never tried that before. Totally Club Med. Introducing the new Total All-Inclusive Club Med with unlimited drinks, all-day dining, world-class accommodations, 64 sports and activities, all gratuities and more for a totally great price. So you can totally forget your wallet. Call today for a totally unlimited, totally together, totally barefoot time. Book now and save on a 7-night total all-inclusive vacation to Club Med in the Caribbean, Bahamas, or Mexico. Call today. You'll totally want to do it again. Oh, yeah.
Well, we're back, and we're going to have some more of our Winter Carnival visit, and we're going to be joined in a moment by the Director of Communications for the Quebec Winter Carnival, and his name is Mr. Jean Pelletier. And good morning, Jean.
Good morning, Roy. How are you doing this morning?
We're doing terrific, and I wanted to thank you for joining us because we had such a marvelous time at the carnival, and it's just so important that you kind of tell us and give us some background, as I just mentioned to our audience, of what really goes into all of this.
So this year it was a great edition, but just for your your information, the first carnival was held in 1894, and it was here in Quebec City more than 100 years ago, and it stopped. It lasts for maybe for four, 3 or 4 years, and then it stopped. And in 1955, a bunch of businessmen decide to bring back this idea. And since then, we have a carnival year after year here in Quebec City. And it is 17 days of enjoying life, enjoying winter, celebrate winter. And it's very, very popular, very, very attractive.
So now you do have it. You have it every year.
We have it every year.
Right. Not every four as it was before.
No, not it was like it was before. It's as I mentioned, we celebrate this year our 52nd edition.
And I was happy to be a part of that. It was just phenomenal. The canoe races were something that I had never even thought could happen. It was so exciting, and even with the weather and the wind blowing, everyone had a wonderful time.
Oh yeah. We still have some activities was there at the beginning of the carnival. Example, the canoe race. Here in Quebec City, there is a river right in front of the city. It's the Le Saint-Laurent. And during the carnival, we have a canoe race, and the teams have has to to cross over the river. And it's during this time of the year, it's icy, I would say. There's a lot of ice on the river, and it's like an extreme sport. So it's this competition is still there, and it was there at the beginning, because you know at this time in the early years, I would say they has to transport the like meals or mail and something across the river here in Quebec City. So there were a lot of canoe company, and then it became a competition, and the winner of the of this competition was hired to do transportation. So it was very special, and we bring back this idea in 1955, and it's still there. We have two night parades. It's very, very beautiful. Were you there at this at the night parade?
I don't think we got. No, we came the day after that, I believe.
Oh, you came the day after. So,
but I did see the videos of it, and it's spectacular.
Oh yeah, it's very spectacular. It's very, very popular too. It's a very family activity. We have around 20 floats rolling the parade. And with bands, with special animation, and there is special effect on some floats, and it's very, very attractive. And we present this parade two times during the carnival.
And the interesting part, I think, Sean, is that although here we have a big event, a big carnival, as they do in New Orleans and Rio, and what I see here is that it's called. It's the third largest carnival in the world, and yet there was plenty of room. You could get around. You could still get into the restaurants and eat, unlike other cities.
Yeah, you know, Quebec City is a very, very nice place. It's like a European style, and you could feel like if you're in France, especially because the architecture, but for the French language too. So it's like an immersion, a little French immersion. But everyone here could talk to you in English if you want, could serve you in English. And usually we are very a warm population. And that makes the difference, I would say.
That certainly does. Now, each year you have a different theme, is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, this theme, this year the theme was the carnival will surprise you. So all over the carnival there was some surprise. We had an activity this year was it was a spa where like a Scandinavian tendance, I would say, and. You could had a bath right in the middle of our main location named Plain of Abraham.
I saw that, yes.
Yeah.
It was amazing, and we've got some video of it, in fact. Yeah, it was really fun.
Yeah, so we have three main locations here in Carnival. The one I mentioned to you, Plain of Abraham, it's our playground. It's a huge playground. You could do rafting, you could do ice fishing. You know, it's very a challenge. We built every year a basin and put in it around 8,000 trout, and kids and family could fish there, and it's very, very popular. You could do a horse sleigh ride. You could taste a Sugar Shack product. And there is a lot of animation, and there's a lot of presentation too, a lot of thing on stage, especially for kids.
And they had the Bonhomme's Great Ice Palace, which I thought was a lot of fun, and there was a lot of activity around it as well.
Yeah. This is the ice castle is the home of Bonhomme Carnaval. You know, Bonhomme Carnaval is our. Snowman of our childhood. You know, when we were young, We built like a snowman, so we created a real one here in Quebec City, and he's the only talking snowman.
Well, we got to be quite friendly when I was there. They were beginning to call me Petit Bonhomme.
Yeah, and his house is the castle, the ice castle. So over there you could visit, you could do a visit inside the ice castle. There's a lot of ice sculpture in it, and there is a lot of presentation on stage, music, special animation, ice carving demonstration, and this is where we do our closing ceremony of the carnival.
And of course, he has to live in an ice castle, yeah. Otherwise he'd melt, wouldn't he?
No. During summer, he's in the north. Maybe Alaska, I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I noticed that on different years, I'm looking at your site at the moment. In 2005, it was January 28th to February 13th.
Yep.
And then this year, it was January 27th through the 12th. The dates vary a bit. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, we follow. It's always at the end of January and beginning of February, so it's mostly, you know, next year it's going to be to the 26th, January 26th to February 11th, and then we'll come back here at the year after on February 1st to February 17th. So it's always we at the end of January and beginning of February, and it's those dates are the best to do a winter carnival, because years ago they do like a study, and they noticed that the best dates to do a winter carnival it's mid January to mid February, so we decide to do it on the end of January and beginning of February. And is, I would say 10 years ago, the carnival would last for 10 days, and now it lasts for 17 days. So we add a week on the carnival.
And I must tell you, I was only there for about 4 of those days, but I could handle all 17. It was just a really great experience. The other thing is that you had some great volunteers. A lot of them were students, and they were very knowledgeable about the city and about carnival, and very friendly and helpful. There was great entertainment. Now, mm-hmm. What is the actual date this year, this coming year?
The coming year is January 26th to February 11th.
Okay, we want everybody to mark their calendar for that, because they don't want to miss that event.
No, it's going to be another great event. And you mentioned you're talking about the volunteers.
Yes.
Yeah, it's very important for the carnival. Our carnival is based on human resources. You know, we are about 15 permanent employees, and the rest of the workers are volunteers, and it's around 1,500 volunteers who's working year after year for the carnival. And since the beginning, I think around 20,000 volunteers here in Quebec City has worked for the carnival.
And very knowledgeable, very helpful. They all have radios. And there was one point I got separated from the group. And the next thing I know, there's somebody came over and said, "This way."
Yeah.
And what a great feeling, because all those, I looked around and there's all these people and I'm all alone and I'm saying, well, where do I go from here? Yeah. But there was, and they were all dressed in red, which was very easy to spot, and a great time and a great job you all do. We look forward to possibly doing it again, and we certainly we would certainly recommend to all our listeners to please go to, not only go to the carnival, but before you do, you can go to our website at ttrn.com. There's photos. We have some video up there, and poking a little fun at myself as well, and have a wonderful carnival. Thank you, Juan, and we'll talk to you again one day soon, I hope.
Thank you, and hope you'll come again here in Quebec City during our carnival. You're always welcome.
Thank you very much. Bye for now.
Thank you, Roy.
Great time, great carnival. You don't want to miss it. Right now, we're going to go to break, but when we come back, more of Carnival with our associate producer, Bob Fisher, so hang in there.
USA 3000 Airlines knows the way. USA 3000 now flies to and from Fort Myers, St. Petersburg, Clearwater, and Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, servicing 11 different cities, all at our same low fares starting at $59. No peanuts served here. For a low fare with a real meal and in-flight entertainment, choose USA 3000. USA 3000 has simple fare rules regardless of the fare. There are no Saturday night stays and no round trip required on any fare. They have a low change fee, and this is the part you're really going to love. Even if you miss your flight, you don't lose your fare. So what are you waiting for? With fares this low and rules this simple, you can afford to take someone with you. Call now to make your reservations at 1-877-USA-3000. That's 1-877-USA-3000. You can also book online at www.usa3000.com or call your local travel agent.
Well, as this year's honorary Winter Carnival Petit Bonhomme, I'd like to officially welcome Talking Travel's associate producer, Mr. Bob Fisher. Good morning, Bob.
Bonjour, petit bonhomme.
Ah, your French is a little bit better than mine. We're stumbling over words.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Anyway, before you get into one of your famous dissertations, let me just read some notes.
But it really means I talk too much.
No, not at all. We just love to listen to you talk, but
yeah,
I just like to get a couple of words in here before. And you know, when you go somewhere, the first impression is very important. And I was looking at my first morning. I jotted down some notes, and it was the first impression of Quebec City. I was looking out of the large picture window from my eighth floor room at the Hilton Hotel, and you were a couple of floors below. In fact, you saw the view from my room,
uh-huh.
And you know, it was snowing as the dawn appears, like just to rise out of the St. Lawrence River and begins to cover the city. Below me was a field of untouched new snow in this park, and beyond it, I can see the green rooftop lighting from the Hotel Frontenac, and the city wall now begins to appear as first light reflected off some snow-covered rooftops, and then slowly window lights began to twinkle out. A few cars appear on the streets below, and night slowly becomes day. And it's just reminiscent of a winter wonderland one might find in a scene from a Christmas card. Absolutely breathtaking, is it not? Are you still with me, or did I?
I'll tell you, you started off the best way you possibly could. I mean, I really appreciate those sentiments. And I have to tell you, you and I have traveled together in some pretty interesting places. You know, initially we got together in Mexico, etc. This trip was really special for me because Quebec, the province of Quebec and Quebec City itself are a second home to me. I speak both French and English and spent the better part of my life teaching French as a second language from the point of view of Quebec. And when I traveled there with you this time, I have to tell you I was a bit nervous. And I'm always nervous when I go to Quebec City with friends and colleagues because it's like welcoming somebody else into your own home. And it's, are they going to like it? You know, are they going to understand it? Are they going to see and feel what I have for so many years seen and felt here? And what you just said, the words you just said, do sum it up. Quebec City is, in so many ways, one of the most serene places. I think one of the best travel destinations, certainly in North America.
Well, you refer to Quebec City as a feast for the senses.
And you've got that, right? I watched you. You probably didn't see me, but you know, I took an awful lot of pictures of you, and they're up there now for the world to see. And And I was kind of following you around and saying, what's going on in his head? You know, what's he seeing? What's he feeling? Because I knew it was your first time in Quebec City. Am I correct?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So, and so those first impressions, you know, are really important. And, you know, I use the expression in the article I wrote for this one, the Grand Theatre of Quebec Winter, and that's really, you know, you were setting the stage in the notes that you took that morning, and I knew you were going to, we had a great view because we had a panoramic view of Quebec City, which is absolutely splendid, and what you saw was the curtain lifting on the Grand Theatre of Quebec Winter. I should tell you, and here I'll get into my dissertation, but the motto of Quebec, of the province of Quebec, is Je me souviens, which means I remember. And you see it on all the license plates. And this is very important, and now I think you know, and I think you'll understand, and how important history, culture is to the Quebec people. Because they are the French speaking population of North America, and for a lot of people that come there for the first time, especially from United States, it's a bit of, almost a shock to them that, oh my goodness, people actually live and work in French here, and it is very much like a European capital. And I'm just wondering, Roy, what were the key things that really struck you as we wandered around and participated in all those activities?
Well,
what did you see that you hadn't seen before?
Well, it wasn't a matter of it was the warmth of the people, the diversity,
yeah,
of the city. The beauty of it all, walking the streets, even though you walked a little faster than I did. Everywhere we turned, there was a smile and a happy face. The people were just generally happy. And in fact, I think I mentioned to one of the gals, I said, how can you be so happy here? You're happy. Everybody's so happy here all the time. He said, well, because we're a happy city. And it's like in a family, if the family is happy, the kids are happy. There's just friendliness and warmth, and that was I think probably the most warming experience for me.
And I think, you know, what Michel was saying, what Jean was saying, and I know Suzanne because I've traveled to Quebec City twice now with Suzanne. What they sense is that Quebec, first of all, as you can see, is a very controlled environment, not a rigid environment, but a very controlled. The geography and the history gives it a sense of place that is incredibly unique. This is where, except for the First Nations people, this is where North America, this part of North America began. And what I think is the Quebec Winter Carnival, what it really represents is the soul of the Quebec people. And they are a people who began life in the New World under very harsh climatic, geographic conditions.
And consequently,
We were in a whiteout there. You remember when we went out to the ice hotel and to that restaurant?
Right.
And we're walking along. At one point, I couldn't even see you. I lost you, and then I found you standing next to a snowman you were talking to. But, it's harsh conditions, gorgeous, beautiful conditions. But if you go back to the 17th century, you can see why a Quebecois culture developed an amazing sense of self-determination and interdependence. And to me, what Quebec City and the Quebec Winter Carnival especially represent is how the environment shapes and defines human culture. And no matter where we travel, and we see that, and we see it especially in Quebec, and all of that carnival, it's all about how do you that the environment of the winter is not your enemy. It is a co-competitor, if you like, just like the canoe races across the river. But it is something to celebrate and something to bond with and work with. And that's, of course, how Quebec developed. Out of the lumber industry, as you were pointing out, and the fur industry, and the fishing. It was the new world.
And just getting back to the people, if I may, for a moment, they were a really hardy lot. And yes. Of course, this all goes back to their historic beginnings. But, you know, the canoe races, for example, yeah. That was one of the most exerting physical mm-hmm. sports I have ever seen in my life. And at the end of it, they were standing around just chatting and congratulating one another as though they just had walked around the corner. I was amazed by it all.
And I hope, when people go to the website and listen to some of the on-the-spot audio that you and I put together as we're standing there on the side of the river watching these canoe racers go back and forth, jumping from ice floe into the canoe and back out again.
Well, now,
but, you know, Quebecois people are generally the most sporty people anywhere that I've met anywhere in the world, and certainly a level of physical fitness is unparalleled, and it's because of this interaction, this historical interaction with winter and the land. But there's a serenity to the place too that comes from the sense of identification.
Well,
and it's a sense of unity and common purpose. And you know, you have to remember that this French-speaking culture is very distinct. In Canada, we use the term a distinct society. Quebecois culture is in the minority of English-speaking North America. 380 million people in the U.S. now?
360, maybe.
Something like that. We're only 32 million. And Quebec, the province of Quebec, is 10 million. Of that, 6 million, approximately 6 million, are French-speaking people. So within a continental, generally English-speaking environment, you have a very unique and distinct French-speaking culture that not only is surviving, but is thriving, and that's what you saw. They are probably one of the most hospitable travel destinations that I've ever been to.
And they have good reason to be. Yeah, I totally agree. Now, Bob's article is more in-depth, obviously, on the website, and it's called Talking Travel's Great Northern Adventure at the Quebec Winter Carnival. And you can sit in your sofa or at your computer or wherever it is you are and look at the photos and the video and the audio. But let's touch on some of the fun things that we did. Why don't we start with this dog sledding?
Well, an amazing. It was the first time I did it. And again, if you go to the article, there's one spot you can click just to hear the dogs barking.
Yeah,
and to hear you try to talk and explain what we're doing. But this is exactly the kind of activity that you can engage in. You're really doing the real thing. We were out there for an hour, Roy.
Right, and you were the driver.
By the way, I do apologize for that low branch. Covered with snow.
I thought I'd bring that up. All of a sudden,
I was doing my best to keep the dogs in a straight line, and I realized I did sort of bury you in snow there.
You sort of lost track of the trail there a little. I think you should have said mush when you said mush or something.
We
ended up a little bit on the bank, and there was this. Let me just explain it a little bit further. There was this low hanging pine branch full of mm-hmm. snow. That I ended up going through, and the sled in front said that when they looked back, they couldn't see anything but just one big ball of snow. My face, my head, And all of a sudden, there I was. I couldn't see a thing, but great
actually,
fun.
Actually, I did it on purpose because it was a rite of passage. It was sort of your initiation from sunny Florida into the glorious winter of Quebec. I mean, I kind of had to do it.
Well, you know, the important thing, of course, when you talk about the cold and that, being a Floridian, when it goes down to 55 degrees here, we're freezing. But, you know, if you dress properly, as I had did, I had new snow boots, and courtesy of my sister, and warm clothes, and if you dress for the occasion, as most people, I guess, that live in the North know, it was fine. There wasn't one time in that whole trip that I was really cold. I mean, my face was cold when the wind was blowing snow in it, but of course we had all these scarves and masks and things. So it really
interactive.
Yeah, I loved it.
Give me your reaction to the architecture of Quebec City, which is
absolutely breathtaking. I mean, when I looked out the window, and I think I'd mentioned this to you, and I looked across that park at these lovely little townhouses, whatever they were. They're probably now bed and breakfast places.
Mm-hmm.
And with the snow on the roof, it looked like a Christmas scene. It looked like these little houses that people buy and put around their Christmas tree or decorate their house with. It was just, as I say, a winter wonderland.
And it is the most European of all the capitals in North America. The architecture, and when we were in the lower town, for example, which is the most historic, because that's where the original colony started, and you can see what an amazing job they've done restoring the lower town. When I first went there, Roy, I was 18 years old. This was my first time on my own. Quebec City really was the first place that taught me what it was really like to travel. But back in those days, it was the 1960s. The lower town was still very much a working port. Since then, you can see what they've done. They've turned it into restored a lot of it, and it looks very much as it looked in the 17th, 18th centuries. And many, many historic heritage buildings. Do you remember the restaurant that Suzanne mentions that in her article, the Crémaillère, that we went to that night? Mm-hmm. Again, you know, the context is everything. And in part, it's why Quebec is such a gourmet capital as well. Because the restaurants, the fine restaurants, are also in historic buildings, and you know, for a restaurateur, you know, you couldn't ask for a better place.
And as you say, when you step across the border from the U.S.
Yep.
Into Canada, and suddenly you're into this area. You're in Paris, or you're in Europe. I mean, it's so different from our country, and so wonderful, and as you say, the architecture.
And yet, no problem communicating.
Absolutely none. No.
Right. And sometimes, you know, when I travel in Quebec, and often I'm just, when I'm on my own, I'm wandering around and taking pictures and writing notes and that sort of thing, and I will come across tourists, American tourists especially, and I'll try and engage them in conversation. And the first thing that, you know, I usually ask them is, what surprises you? You know, Jean Peltier says the carnival will surprise you. What has surprised you about this? And they inevitably say, well, as I said before, it's so French, and yet we have no problem communicating here. Well, Quebec is a very bilingual. Canada is officially a bilingual country, and Quebec is a very bilingual. It's a very avant-garde society, and Richard pointed this out, that Quebec City is a cultural capital, you know, with symphony and art and museums, and it has a very vigorous young avant-garde right out there on the world stage youth. In terms of as part of the worldwide association of French speaking countries, which is called La Francophonie, Quebec is very well respected for its industries and its cultural industries especially, and that's what the carnival is. It's a cultural industry that preserves, maintains, and celebrates what I consider the best in all human culture, that sense of place, that, and you said it at the beginning, the community, the sense of community. And that's what is most preserved in the city of Quebec. And you felt it, and I know, and I saw it, and I'm really happy you had a good time and that you got it.
It was just really spectacular. We have some great photos up on the website, and as Bob said, some video and some audio clips. Bob, what have you posted them under? Under Destination Canada?
It's under Destination Canada, and the first three items there are the Talking Travel's Great Northern Adventure at the Quebec Winter Carnival. Then there's an article by Melissa on the dog mushing, and then Suzanne's article also on more of the culinary and the small inns side of the experience. And Quebec City is just the jumping off point, as Suzanne points out in her article, for so many other delights as well.
And we can see photos of me with the with Bonhomme, and you can
see a video of you and Bonhomme launching
right.
The second
and sitting in week. The ice chair, which was a little bit of a surprise to my
well, it's more of a
lower
throne,
extremities.
Roy, and you were kind of the honorary being petit Bonhomme. You know, you got to sit on the ice throne, and I think you may have had a little bit of a culture shock there.
It's
in the hindquarters.
It's a fun article. It's an informative, and the whole. It's really been a pleasure doing this this special, and being able to share this with our audience, and the world.
And I really invite everyone who's listening to come to Quebec at any season. And when Richard, it's a city of festivals, and Richard pointed out that in July there's the huge music festival. In the summer, there's the Festival of New France, which we already have done on the show. But at any time throughout the year, this is one of the best Four Seasons destinations in North America. So
absolutely.
Everyone who's listening, come up and see Petit Bonhomme's Quebec.
Bob, thank you very much.
And
we'll chat with you soon.
Okay,
bye for now. Bob Fisher, and we're going to run a little overtime here, but it was just such a great experience. We just had to share it with you all. You're listening to Talking Travel Live on the Travel Talk Radio Network and worldwide at ttrn.com. You can check our program schedule by going to ttrn.com for the latest guest information. Next week, my guest will be Mr. Evan Eggers with the Cruise Industry News and Updates. Aaron Sinelli, co-founder of the Spanachocha Foundation. I think I got that right. Travel journalist Suzanne Wright. And our man about the world, Johnny Jett. Until then, this is Roy Lowy saying bye for now and happy travels.
You've been listening to Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends on the Travel Talk Radio Network. Visit our website at ttrn.com for complete show archives and interviews with guests like Chris Elliott, Peter Greenberg, Bob Fisher, Johnny Jett, and many other great travel professionals. Don't forget to tune in live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern for more Talking Travel with Roy Lowy and friends.